the GDPR is coming. Oh no!
You're listening to Inbox Besties, the only little guy approved podcast that gives you dangerously practical advice for turning internet randos into subscribers with benefits. You know, the kind that pop open their wallets and throw fistfuls of cash at you for your courses and coaching, not like that other stuff. Perf. Now let's get to it.
Welcome back, my inbox besties. Kate Doster here of katedoster.com, creator of the Email Marketing Fairy ebook with over 50 grab and go email marketing templates that you can use from everything from setting up your 11-part sales funnel to your welcome series to honestly revitalizing a super dead list that you haven't sent anything to, you know, besides your Black Friday deal that was mind-blowing last year, which you can get your copy of when you head on over to katedoster.com/email marketing fairy. And guys, the price is going up on June 1st, so I figured I would just let you know about it now, but it'll still be ridiculously affordable. So if you guys are avid listeners of the Inbox Besties podcast, you might be like, hey, Kate, didn't you do a GDPR episode on Friday? Well, we did, but it turns out that the audio was bad in the middle, so I decided to re-record the intro and the outro and actually condense the interview so that way it's as most actionable as possible, because if you're listening to this in real time, May 25th, so like Friday, y'all, GDPR goes into effect. So what GDPR is the General Data Protection Regulation that affects residents of the EU and people who process information, like names and email addresses, from people who live in the EU. So the first question that comes up is always like, hey, can I just ban people from my site that live in the EU? You can't. There is no plugin for it. The EU is actually trying to make some type of regulation where you can't do that. That's all like hearsay. So no, you can't. The second thing you need to know about this interview and everything else I say from this point on, it is strictly for information use only. I actually have another email marketing guru with me here today, Jen Gardner of JenniferGardner.com, which I'll put a link to in the show notes. There's several of her stuff because she's amazing. And what we literally did was sat down and we talked about what are we doing in our businesses to basically cover our butts for GDPR. So that's kind of like what you guys are talking about. I do interview Jen a little bit in the beginning, just so that way you can kind of get to know her because she's awesome. But honestly, like the rest of it is literally just, so Jen, what are you doing? Okay, you're doing this. Oh, okay. And we just talk about it here. Now, there are certain aspects of the GDPR that are pretty like black and white. And that is you need to have an updated privacy policy that is GDPR compliant. So I put a link to some resources down below to help you get that. The second thing is that anyone who is on your email list that lives in the EU, so that's, I believe it's 26 countries, don't quote me on that, guys, Google it. You need to send them an email between now and Friday, preferably at least two, asking them, do you still want to stay on my email list, yes or no? If they say no, then by May 24th, you are supposed to delete them. So do I think like anyone's going to come down and attack you if it's the 25th and you delete people? Probably not. But this is, again, they need to re-opt into your list, if you will. So head on over to your email service provider to see the best way to do that as well. So guys, that's really just all I wanted you to know. Make sure that you're emailing your list, update your privacy policy. We are going to tackle how to handle sequences and autoresponders and freebies in this episode with Jen. Again, she's talking about what she is doing. I'm talking about what I've heard. But again, guys, this isn't the end of the world. Even if it takes you a little while to get everything going, it's fine, okay? You just want to make sure that you are making a valiant effort to comply with this new law. And remember, guys, both Jen and I are not lawyers, and this is not legal advice. This is purely for informational use only. Now let's get to it. All right, guys. Well, a big welcome to Jen. It is always so exciting to have another email marketing nerd on the podcast besides just myself. And that's really what this is, guys. We told you about this in the intro that, you know, none of this is legal advice. We're not lawyers. We don't play that any on TV. This is literally just two email marketing geeks sitting around talking about like what they're going to be doing and are implementing so that way we can stay compliant and above board. But Jen, I know you do a lot more than just email marketing, so feel free to tell us anything else you'd like everyone to know.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate. I'm so excited to be here. And yes, I am an email marketing geek.
That's us, guys.
But I also do other things. I am getting into more bots now. Teaching people in conjunction with email marketing how they can add those in. Bots will never replace email marketing, but they're great to use for giving reminders with people. And I also teach stuff on courses as well as sales funnels right now. So communication marketing based. That's basically what my gist is. So yeah.
Awesome. So Jen, were you always like that entrepreneurial kid growing up? Like, did you sell lollipops and Girl Scout cookies and do all of this stuff forever? Or did you sort of stumble upon entrepreneurship?
I kind of came across it by accident. So all my courses in high school were geared towards becoming a neonatal surgeon. So I was that science nerd in high school. And basically when I got pregnant with my first son, I was in Michael's craft store and I was looking at their schedules and they had a cake course. I'm like, oh, this would be cool. I'm bored. I'm at home. Hey mom, do you want to do this with me? And it wasn't until I started planning my wedding that it really kicked in, like, holy cow, cakes cost a lot of money. So I'm going to do my own cake, right? Because I just took all these courses. And it actually went from a hobby to a career. So my first business, which I actually still have as my second business now, was doing cakes, like the Cake Boss, basically.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. So that grew into a big business that I was booking out weekly. But then it came to the point where I didn't want to keep trading so much time for dollars. So I developed a cake course, which is called Cake School. And I still have Cake School. It's now turned into a membership site. But that's how I got into email marketing. So there was this big launch, B-School. Well, most people know B-School. That I decided to take B-School. And she was preaching this email marketing. You need to build a list. You need to build a list. I'm like, okay, cool. So I started building a list, but I didn't really know what to do with it until I went to go do a webinar. And I got my first business coach and it really kicked in, like, this is what I need to be doing. This is like the gold of marketing. And now I kind of know what to do with it. And with that, I generated my first $5,000 in sales with my list from a botched webinar because I had no idea how to do webinars. So ever since then, it's been email marketing, email marketing, email marketing. And my business coach makes fun of me because I like go like off on like this tangent, like, oh, you could do this with this. Oh, this is so cool. Look at all these features. And it's just so awesome. People are like, come back down to ground zero, Jen.
See, and this is why we're on the show. And like, cause we both just love it so much. And I'm sure you have the exact same philosophy that I do. And this is why we get along so well, is that there is no money in the size of your list. There's money right in the way that you talk to your list.
An engaged list equals a profitable list.
Right? I'm like, y'all can give away free iPads if you want like a 10,000 person list in like 5 days, but it's going to do jack crap for you. So I absolutely love that. And I love that you had a business before this and you just sort of stumbled into there. Don't you kind of love that stuff a lot? We'll have a link to Jen's marketing website. We'll call that one. And definitely to the cake membership. I think that that just sounds really fun and exciting. You never know. We could have people, since this was technically in More Money May, maybe they want to add being a cake boss to their money wipers bar. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure. Or some people are even taking it right now that are just moms that want to create those Pinterest-worthy cakes. So
that's right, guys. All of the other school moms can be so jealous of your caking abilities. Oh God, we could talk about this forever, but that's not what we're here for. Perhaps Jen and I will trap cake after our interview. So what exactly are we talking about today? Why is the sky falling in the internet world, Jen?
Well, there's this GDPR coming up, and I'm not afraid of it. Like, every email hitting my inbox lately is the GDPR. Like, people, it's not the end of the world. But you do need to know about it. You do need to be prepared for it. And it's just a matter of just understanding the legalities of it so that you can implement it.
Exactly. So guys, I mean, obviously you listened to the intro where we went to a bit more in depth about what this is covering, but basically it is about being honest with people and how you're providing with their information. Now, at the time this episode is going live, if you are listening to this live, the deadline is coming up really soon, guys. It is May 25th. So some of the actions that we are going to be talking about, you want to make sure you're doing like at least by May 24th, like absolute like last sort of day. Now, is somebody from Europe going to swing in off a helicopter with, you know, letters and poles, like trying to take away your bank account and charge you billions? Probably not. But you do want to make sure that you're always doing stuff above board and being honest, because that's what we preach here. And really, yeah, I feel like that's sort of what this is doing. So exactly. I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, different things that people need to have in place. But like, where's the first place that you sort of started as you were GDPizing your businesses?
The first thing I think I started with was just updating my privacy policy, making sure that I had every single thing in there that I was doing with people's data, right? because that's what we need to disclose to people is what are we doing with their data? Are you using it to run Facebook ads? Are you using it to trigger email sequences? Are you using it to tag people for promotional materials coming up? So you need to tell people everything you're doing with their data now and just make sure that's in their privacy policy. The next thing I did, I think, was just reconfirming my list, like going back through, filtering all my EU subscribers and just seeing if anybody hadn't been through a double opt-in. And just to be on the safe side, even if they'd been through a double opt-in, you should still send a reconfirm email to them if you've updated your privacy policy. So if your privacy policy didn't comply with the first go and you've updated it, you still need to resend that out to those people and get them to reconfirm. And anybody that hasn't reconfirmed, just tag them for deletion.
Are going to have to delete some people, guys, and to really make sure that you're starting with a privacy policy in place. Now, Jen and I, like I said, we're just chatting here, just amongst us ladies. So we're going to put links down to the show notes where you can get templates that have actually been approved by a lawyer. Because again, this is just information based, but I really love, Jen, how it's really just about spelling out, like, I'm going to be doing Facebook ads. I'm going to be doing emails. So if you guys already have an email list, because I know this is a really big question, and Jen also teaches email marketing, what are you advising your students to do with subscribers they already have?
Well, I've been advising all along to do double opt-in. I just, besides being compliant with the GDPR, it's going to give you a more engaged list. It's going to give you just better rankings with ISPs. So ISP is internet service provider. So basically, when you send an email, internet service providers have a number that they view your IP address as. So when you have unconfirmed people on your list, it's going to rank you lower. So besides making you GDPR compliant, they're going to be like, hey, she's got confirmed people or he's got confirmed people. So she's legitimate and she's going to end up in inboxes. So there's many, many benefits to double opt-in. So I've just been advising my students, you still need to do double opt-in. That's what I'm advising. You can do the checkbox thing, but I find most people don't want to click checkboxes. They've been conditioned to click the confirm button in the email. The only thing that you need to start tweaking, though, is the fact that your opt-in, say if it's like a PDF, needs to be separate from your confirm button. So I use ActiveCampaign, and they've got a really cool thing where you can edit your confirmation email. So in the first sentence, basically, I'm providing them with the link to their lead magnet, which I'm telling my students to do as well. And then I'm having a separate paragraph that says, hey, if you want me to send you marketing materials or add me to your weekly list, so you customize based on what you're doing, then click this button here. So it's a separate consent from the thing they opt in for. If it's something like a challenge or a webinar or a video series, the consent is basically to start getting those marketing materials for that webinar stuff. So you don't have to have separate consent necessarily, I think, for a webinar or a challenge or a video series to send those, but anything like PDF, ebook, if you're having like content upgrades, anything those are separate from adding people to your weekly emails. And you can't just add people that signed up for a webinar to your weekly emails as well. You need to get separate consent for that. So that's the long and short of it. It's like, you can't just add people to your weekly emails anymore.
Right? Exactly. Now, you guys know, like, in my, like, welcome email, I am very blunt about the fact that I'm going to be sending you promotional materials. Mm-hmm. I feel like other people are trying to bury the lead, if you will. And they're like, oh my goodness, like, God, no one's ever going to confirm. But the fact that they're actually, like, giving you permission to send them this stuff. And obviously, guys, as we always talk about here about selling the free, you are going to need to sell the benefits of what getting these weekly emails and other promotional materials is really going to get them.
Yeah.
So that way you're not just like, hey, click this button. Now, are there going to be some people that are used to the old way of things where they're just normally click a button? Sure. But you need to make sure that in clear and explicit language that people know that that's what they're getting.
Exactly. So
I know Jen and I, we talked a lot about this, but we'll actually, I want to go back a little bit. So tell us a little bit about what you were talking about when you meant like check boxes.
So there's two ways you can get people to consent now to the GDPR. There's adding a checkbox to your actual opt-in form, basically stating that I am consenting to receive marketing materials and weekly emails from so-and-so. And it has to be an unchecked or unticked box, right? You can't pre-check it for them. So they have to physically go and check that. And then you can have it set up in your email provider to look for that. And if they haven't checked that box, then they don't get added to your list. They get tagged for deletion. Now, the problem comes where if you don't have the capabilities of tagging with your email provider, then that's going to cause a headache. So the other way of doing this is with the double opt-in, right? Where you still do the same thing you were doing before. The double opt-in is just now you have to provide in a separate sentence the lead magnet from the actual consent to being added for marketing materials and weekly emails.
Exactly, guys. I know, like I said, everyone is like, oh my goodness. So what that means, guys, is that people are to be able to, if you're offering a free ebook or PDF or a checklist, people need to be able to still sign up to get that without automatically being confirmed onto your email list. I think that's where a little bit of people have some confusions. And again, I just want to point out, like what John said, and I'm going to be doing that with my stuff as well, is that that has to be a separate sentence and literally like a link to it. So now everyone's like, oh, so people could just see my link and then never confirm. Yeah.
Well, see, and if you're worried about this, I've been doing double opt-in all along and I changed my email confirmations in January and I've had I'm still getting between 60 to 100 leads a day of double opt-ins from promotions I'm running. Like, so if you're worried that this double opt-in is just going to like kill you if you're offering it separate, it's not. It's just in the way you word things. And this might be a good time to invest in a copywriter if you're not good at writing skills, right? To make sure that your confirmation emails are really enticing and engaging for people to sign up for your list, right?
Exactly. Now, so a lot of the other parts of the GDPR are things that you guys need to be talking to your email service provider about. Some email service providers are trying to get ahead of the game a lot more than others. We were talking about this before we hit record. Actually, MailerLite, which you all know that I am a fan of MailerLite, they have been trying to do some really like innovative things and really get in front of it. You know, others, we won't name names on this broadcast in case they're listening, because you never know, have not been as fast or customer forwardness. So you're going to need to make some decisions. Now, I know we have some international users, and the people who are in the EU are, of course, more like concerned about this than others. You might have to reach out to them and leave if you don't feel that they are doing enough on their end, technologically speaking, to be able to support you and what you need to get done. Then that's a choice that you guys are going to have to make. Like, Jen and I can't make that for you.
Yeah, so exactly.
Just keep that in mind.
And that's with like when you're choosing any softwares, right? Always compare the features of what you need in order to decide whether that software is going to benefit you or if a different software would benefit you, right? Do a feature comparison. And then you can always do feature requests, right? Like most softwares have a feature request page. So put in those feature requests and be like, nudge your buddies and be like, hey, can you like request this feature too? Because the more people that get requesting the same feature, the more likely they are to implement it, right?
Exactly. So I know that this is a question that's going to come up a lot. You know, Jen, have you found that there's any way to tell if somebody is in the EU, you know, from an email service provider, like will be smart enough to know, and then I can just like automatically add people to my newsletter list, or should I be doing this with every new subscriber? Like, what about that?
So I have an automation set up in ActiveCampaign for myself. Most email providers will allow you to segment, but the way you set it up is probably going to be different than me if I'm in ActiveCampaign and you're a ConvertKit and stuff. So basically you have to look for how you can segment your audience coming in for any list. And the way I've done it is I have it check for all the different countries of the EU. And if those countries exist, they're automatically being added to a separate list within my email provider so that all my EU subscribers are under one list. Now, if somebody comes into your list and for some reason it can't locate their geography, to be on the safe side, I would still add those to your EU subscriber list using that automation. So anybody that's doesn't have a geolocation and is in the EU, have those so that they're automatically being added to that list so you can comply better with those specific people. Anybody that's not in the GDPR country list, you can still email regularly, unless I've been informed that you actually live in one of those countries, and then everybody on your list has to be compliant to those. So if you live in a GDPR country, you automatically have to comply with everybody on your list. But I'm sorry, very bad news. But if you live in like the United States, it's only like the EU subscribers that you have to really be compliant with. And unless the, you know, the rest of the countries be like, hey, cool, this is working. We're all going to do this now.
Right. And I think that because like Jen and I, like we have been like nose to the grindstone and we've personally contacted lawyers ourselves and we're really up to date. Like I said, guys, we've got a whole wealth of resources. Just click the cover art so that way you can go ahead and get yourself educated as well, because that's been like our big thing. It's like, we want to make sure that our students are actually doing everything that complies. And sometimes it's honestly better to be safe or sorry.
Yeah.
So I like to think of this, guys, as more of like a spring cleaning for your email list. So we talked about like the first thing that you guys want to go ahead and do is make sure that on your website, you're changing your privacy policies to reflect all the changes. And of course, the resources down below that we have are going to walk you more over them in a more granulated sort of issue.
Yeah.
But the next thing that you're going to need to do, if you haven't done so already, is you are going to have to set out a reconfirm email. Now, Jen and I will talk about things to include with that as well. Some email service providers, rather than others, have made this easier, but there are ways that you're going to be able to do that. So Jen, could you tell us a little bit about the reconfirmation email that you're sending your list or going to be sending your list? How are you doing that?
So the one I sent to my list was basically a one-click link. Survey, basically. It's similar to that. So you may have seen this before where email people will send out an email that has three or four, sometimes two different links, be like, hey, click the one that best describes your situation. You can do the same type of scenario, but with reconfirmation, be like, please click the link that best describes what information you'd like to receive from me. If you don't click the link, or click a link, I'm going to have to delete you within 3 weeks. I will send you a reminder before I delete you just in case you missed this, basically. But when they click that link, it's reconfirming them by adding a tag in the back office that they've clicked that link and they've reconfirmed to receive weekly emails or this or that. So say they're clicking the link to still receive marketing materials and weekly emails, I would have it set up when they click that specific link to tag them with weekly emails and marketing materials. If they only want to receive weekly emails, then I'd have it set up to tag them with just the weekly emails. Some email providers have made it simpler where they have a reconfirm link that automatically just reconfirms them for everything that they're already on. So where some of it you have to do like your own manual reconfirmation. There have been people suggesting that you should send a link to an opt-in box and get them to put their information in all over again. But that sometimes is easier said than done. People like really simple things. So when you do just the one-click link and just have it within that link, what they're re-opting in for, I think it's just simpler and you'll find more people opting in because it's just one click. Pick the one that best describes what you want to receive from me.
Exactly, guys. I wholeheartedly agree. So we both use ActiveCampaign, so that's really easy. You want to make sure, guys, that even if you are, once they click on the link, if there's an action, so maybe with your guys, they don't necessarily have the tagging capabilities, but they have an action. When they click on a link, you can add them to a group or a segment and literally like name that group, consented to this. Yeah. Now, I have some people that have been recommending like, oh, you can divide up your email list again by geolocation and just send it to the people in the EU. But yeah. I'm actually going to encourage you guys to really just send it for everybody because I feel like this is a great opportunity to really pare down and clean your email list. I'm sure, you know, Jen can definitely back me up on this since we've been talking about deliverability and really having a healthy and engaged email list. If you're sending this to everyone and, you know, say you've got a 1,000-person list, but only like 300 people are doing it, well, then all you really have is a 300-person list anyways. And now,
exactly. I posted my poll like 2 weeks ago. Like people, like
right? Like, so your open rate and click-through rate are gonna be amazing.
The size of your list is only the amount of people actually opening your emails.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you have a 10,000-person list and you only 300 people are opening, like she said, you only have a 300-person list and you're paying for those people to be there.
Right? So why not like use this as an opportunity? You guys that have the Email Marketing Fairy, we talk about the List Resurrection series, and then we actually have the boot, as we like to call it, where it's that three-part email. Now, you don't need to be as aggressive as in the boot series, but you do need to let people know, like, I am going to unsubscribe you. And you guys, like, you have to be willing to push the trigger and actually unsubscribe the people that don't reconfirm.
And just think of it, how it's going to benefit for you. Like, I know it's like scary, like, oh my gosh, you want me to take people off my list, but then my list is going to shrink, but they're not opening your emails anyways. They're not clicking your links. They're not engaging with your content. If they're not engaging with you, they're not opening, they're not clicking, they're not reading your stuff, then they're never going to buy from you anyways. So by cleaning those people off, not only are you going to see your open rates go up, you're going to see your click-through rates go up because you're going to get better deliverability with those internet service providers that I mentioned earlier. They're going to be like, cool, people want her stuff. They're opening more. Because when you get rid of the dead weight, basically, you get all these engaged people and your engagement rate goes up and it triggers with the internet service providers like, cool, she's got a list full of people that want to hear from her. So we're going to put her in the inbox. or him in the inbox. I keep saying her because I'm looking at her, but him too. If you're him and you're listening, I'm sorry.
Whatever, my dude besties. Yeah. Just sort of let them know, guys. So I know that we've talked about a lot and there's still, you know, some more things, but really wanted to make this episode like really actionable what we're doing. So again, First things first, guys, make sure your privacy policy is now updated. Second, when you update that, you're supposed to email your subscribers anyways to let them know, like, that's just what you legally
this have. Has changed. You may have gotten a bunch of those by now. This
you should have gotten lots of those by now. And I don't want you thinking like, oh, I'll just like, you know, rip off the one I got from Wistia and change it to my name. Probably don't want to do that because Wistia is a little bit different than you are. And every business is different, y'all. So you want to make sure that you are sending that. Yep.
We're going to put a link below too, right? For Karen's website. Karen has legal templates that you can buy.
There you go, guys. So we've got a couple of them. So that way that's like, you know, up on that. So make sure that you're changing that. You're emailing your list. You do want to send reconfirmations. We will give y'all the option on if you want to send it to everyone or if you have the geo tracking. I would say try to send, you know, at least three between now and the 24th. And then on the 24th, you're just going to have to get rid of people.
Yeah. And with those resends, just make sure that you're only sending to the people that haven't opened or clicked. Don't keep resending to the same people.
Yeah, right. Well, see, I'm doing it straight up to the people who haven't clicked. Yeah. Because they could have opened and then take no action or they forgot. Yeah. So literally, like, if they haven't clicked or if you guys have it set up where, like, they are going to a separate list, you can always do it that way as well. Yeah. So that way, like, people know, like, oh, okay, yeah, they didn't click on a link because they need to know.
Yeah.
And guys, I know that a lot of people are concerned, like, oh, my unsubscribe rate is going to go skyrocketing. And then, like, my email service provider is going to think I stink. And my deliverability is going down. The sky's not falling, guys.
Yeah. And they need to know that, too. Like, when you unsubscribe somebody, it's different than if they did it themselves, right? If you're the one deleting it, it doesn't go against you with those internet service providers. It's when they unsubscribe, then that gets logged with their IP address, right? If it's just you from your IP address, you don't have to worry about that. So just, it's actually going to benefit you because you're, again, your engagement rate's going to go up. So
it's great stuff, guys. Like, it might not seem like it's so great. And I know other internet marketers are like losing their crap over it, but Jen and I are like, yay, they're actually doing stuff that are best practices anyways.
Like, now you're going to have a list full of people that actually want to hear from you.
Right? Now, you guys know that we always actually talk about here on Inbox Besties and in my emails about creating a list of buyers. That's the other thing that we wanted to bring up is that if you are really using any services, and I think that Teachable is actually, they're trying to make some updates on their end because I've been getting some different emails from there. If somebody buys a product from you, that is not permission to be adding them to your weekly newsletter. You know, if your course has some type of follow-up, like, you know, coaching around it, like I like to send like little accountability emails, like that's fine, but you can't be emailing them about other things. So Jen, did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Like basically what they're just trying to get rid of is the fact that when people were opting in for one thing that people were just be like, oh, so you opted in for this, so I'm automatically going to add you to all of these things too, right? So they're just trying to get rid of that. If they're only opting in for, say, your webinar and the stuff that goes with your webinar, you can't just be like, okay, cool, I'm going to add you to my weekly emails now too, so you get all that. You have to have separate consent basically for everything now. So webinar, separate consent for weekly emails. If they're opting in for PDF, you still have to have separate consent for weekly emails. So basically anything you have to have separate consent for, each thing that they're opting in for your list for, basically. That's the long and short of it, right? To keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jen, do you feel that when people are signing up for the webinar, they sort of know that they're going to be getting some type of follow-up emails, like with sales pitches or a challenge? Or like, do we need to put explicit language when they're first signing up? Like, you're going to get content and marketing material. How are you guys handling that? This is just how we're doing it, y'all. Y'all don't have to follow us.
From my understanding from speaking with other people and from what I'm doing myself is just in your double opt-in confirmation, make sure that they're consenting to the webinar and marketing promotions, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't start getting any emails from you until they've consented to that. So then they know right in that confirmation email, hey, I'm consenting to webinar and marketing materials around that webinar, right? But then you can't go and add them to your weekly list. So within your webinar sequence or say after the end of your sales promotions, hey, would you still like to hear from me? Click this button and I'll add you to my weekly email so you can get awesome content on this, this, and this, right? So you can't, like I said, just add them to your weekly emails at the end of your webinar sequence. You have to get that consent again. So the practice that I have been informed about is then to send out a separate email after that's all done. Maybe give them a break because you've been probably emailing them every day for like 5 days. Give them a couple days break. Be like, hey, I send out weekly emails on this, this, and this. Would you still like to hear from me? Click the button below and I'll send you stuff on this, right?
Exactly. And what's really nice, again, we use ActiveCampaign, so other systems might be a little bit harder, but like Jen and I ourselves, like in our automations that we're sending up, can actually have to resend if people aren't clicking. Yeah. And then we can actually have our system manually unsubscribe them from the list. If we sent them 3 times, they didn't answer us either way. Yep. We're just covering our butts by getting rid of them.
Exactly. And then you can just like with ActiveCampaign, you can tag them for deletion and then just go into your contacts and be like, click, I'm going to delete all these people that have this tag, right? So, or just remove them from the list. So if you're keeping people on your list that aren't subscribed to any of your lists, get rid of those people. Mm-hmm. Don't keep them on there because you're paying for them.
So, right.
So if you've unsubscribed them from the list, they're technically still in your email service provider. So you have to actually go in and delete them. So that's why I like to add that tag to tag for deletion, right? So
definitely. And some email service providers, I know someone had an issue with this in another podcast, like Infusionsoft likes to keep people that unsubscribes and they're charging it. Whereas ActiveCampaign, they won't charge us, but they were still holding on to people's information even after they unsubscribed.
Yeah. So I had to delete like 60 people off my list that were on there that weren't a part of any of my list, but they were still in there. So to get rid of those contacts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that, and if some guys use MailChimp, I think MailChimp kicks them out. Yeah. And if you guys aren't quite sure, I know it, for ActiveCampaign users, they have something that's called Active Users. Mm-hmm. And then if you click this little all down button, it'll say All Users. And that's how you'll be able to tell like what that differentiator is and make sure you get rid of those other people.
Yeah. And even like go through, if you have capabilities, go through and find out who's unconfirmed.
Yeah.
Because you want to get confirmation from those unconfirmed people anyways. Because even without the GDPR, under spam laws, if anybody ever flags you for spam and you don't have a confirmation from that IP address or somebody has clicked a link basically stating that they wanted to get that, if you don't have that information, like you can't locate that information, you can actually be charged for spam then, right? Even without the GDPR. So it's always a good practice to have those confirmed subscribers.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to, again, have very clear and explicit language when you guys are sending out that reconfirmation email. If your email service provider makes it a little bit more difficult and you do have to do a tagged link where like you're sending it, like, look, like they only could have possibly gotten this tag if they had clicked on this email, and you'll be able to actually, not that I think, again, the feds are going to come after you, but you'll be able to show like they opened this email. Like I can't fake it that they opened this and that they clicked. I just didn't mysteriously add a tag.
And they're suggesting now that you should actually be screenshotting all of your different confirmations and keeping a file done that if anybody ever does come to you and be like, hey, we want to verify that this person actually subscribed or clicked the link or basically gave you consent to do this with them. Can you prove this? So you can go and you can find it, and then you can find the picture of the screenshot of the actual email or confirmation thing that you sent them or that they clicked on, right? If that makes sense. So when you send them that confirmation email or when you make that opt-in box with those checkboxes, screenshot it, keep it in a folder, title it so that if anybody ever comes to you and needs to look at that to see what they clicked on or what they verified, that you have that information available. And if you change it, then you need to update that picture.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to go over, I'm pretty sure that we covered this already, but with the checkboxes, if you guys do decide to do this on the opt-in form level, and again, you guys can add as many of these layers as you want. If you want to have all of them, you can. There's another thing that we're going to talk about in a second called a sandwich page, which if you listen to Amy Porterfield, you guys have heard of that. But when someone is using the opt-in form, if they don't click on the check mark or say you're doing, like a lot of people I know, they can add option buttons where like people have to click something, you still have to send them the freebie, guys. Like it can't be one of those that if the check mark box isn't clicked, the submit won't work. Like that is not the way this works. They have to be able to click that submit button regardless if they go ahead and leave that box unchecked, which is why some people are doing the option boxes, which are usually little circle guys, because then that will, one, talk to your email service provider, but two, like that's kind of like allowed under, like before they hit submit, they have to just answer that question.
Yeah. And you can prep your subscribers too. Like just be honest. Like, hey, GDPR is coming up. I need to make sure that somebody hasn't hijacked your email and it's taken over and you're getting stuff that you don't want to hear about. So if you can do me a favor and click this link, if you still want to hear from me, if not, then I'm going to remove you in X amount of weeks, but I will send you a reminder, right? Like, just be honest. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to be like, oh my gosh, I have to say all these funny things and they have to like be intrigued and this and that in order to get them to like you. If they're opening your emails currently and they're clicking your links, they're probably more than likely still going to want to hear from you. So it's nothing for them to click another link to reconfirm. So
exactly, guys. It's not that bad. And you know, if you do have any of those other products that you're actually like selling, you don't necessarily have to worry if the shopping cart does add that feature or doesn't. Mm-hmm. So like, you all know that I love ThriveCart and they are working on adding in that feature. It's just a simple email, like, you know, send them obviously their welcome and their login or their content, but then just send them a separate email and then just asking them like, do you want more additional support and offers? Like, this is what I do. Click here. And then you'll know, okay, I can send them a weekly email or no, I can't.
Because you can't bribe people anymore. That's basically it. Like, you can't be like, hey, if you sign up for my weekly emails, I'll give you 10% off. You can no longer do that. So just remember that if you are currently doing that, you have a discount for people signing up for your mailing list, you will no longer be able to do that come May 25th. And I've actually opted in for a few of those lately. Like, yeah, I want 25% off to sign up for your weekly emails. Be like, sorry, you can't do that anymore. So just keep an eye on that if you are currently doing that and make sure that you make those adjustments. You can give them the 10% off to buy that thing, but you can't send them weekly promotions unless they consent.
Exactly, guys. I think that's so super huge. I feel like no one is really talking about the e-commerce side of things. And so I'm really glad that you brought that up. We're all talking about ebooks and mini courses and funnels, but that's so true. You can't just automatically add people.
Yeah. Well, like, I keep getting like guest emails and Old Navy. I'm like, ooh, like, but they still have some of their stuff to be like, get 40% off, put your email in here. It's like, oh, well, Old Navy, you need to change that.
Right. So I mean, you guys know the people that are in Love Your List, we talk about like the wheel thing, guys. So it might be one of those things where if you're more interested in getting the immediate sale, then don't actually have your Wheel of Fun connect just on that thank you screen, automatically gives them the code anywhere. It's just like, let it be. And then when they do order, you can send them that separate email like, hey, I noticed you like this. You know, do you want to be kept updated about these sorts of things?
Yeah, exactly.
And so just have them actually click.
Pop up specifically with the discount. And after they've purchased and they love your stuff, then send them an email being like, hey, would you like to get weekly promotions or bi-weekly promotions? Be like honest of what you're actually going to be sending them. That's the thing that people don't get, is that you have to just be upfront about what you're doing with people all the time. Let them know. Are you going to email them weekly? Are you going to email them bi-weekly, monthly, right? Because if you start doing things that they didn't sign up for, that's when people get mad, right? So just be upfront. This is what I'm going to send you. Do you want this?
Right? Like, y'all know, like, if you've seen mine, or you could definitely sign up for Jen's list after this as well. Hers a little nicer. Mine's just like, straight up, I'm going to ask you to open your wallet. But like, just be honest with people. Like, I have never once, guys, for the record, I have never once gotten any reply back from that email that was negative when I told somebody I am going to sell you stuff.
Yeah.
People like, appreciate it.
It's getting rid of the elephant in the room, right? Like, oh my gosh, when's she going to sell to me? Like right now.
Like, it's coming. And again, if you are using a challenge or an email series and you are using that as a funnel and you're still like, feel nervous about it, literally let them know, like in email number one or day number one, or before they confirm to send lesson number one, that it is coming.
Yeah, I do that in like in all of my videos in my challenge right now and in my emails. Like, I'm going to be letting you know about how you can continue to work with me on day 5 of the sequence, right? Like, it's not a surprise. And I think that's why so many people are like, have aversions to signing up for stuff anymore, because they're like, when's the ball going to drop? When's she going to sell to me? So if you just get rid of that elephant in the room, people are much more like, she was just honest with me, or like, this is cool. Like, I know exactly what's happening now.
Right? It is fans for life, because we're not trying to trick people, guys, into opening their wallets. We're literally helping them make the best decision for them and their family, their body, their sweet tooth, their businesses, whatever you guys are helping them with. That's all that we're trying to do here. And that's really all that this information is, you know, really and going about.
Just remember, if you aren't selling, then you have an expensive hobby.
Why, guys? Why would you even be listening to us this long? I mean, like, come on, y'all. Come on. Like, let's just Zero. Like, so I do have
a couple. Continue to give you stuff if you don't buy anything.
Right? Like, this is a pro quo.
Things cost money.
Oh, what? A business that wants to make business. Like, what? That's like, it's craziness.
I don't think people realize sometimes, like, even just running an email business, you have fees for email providers, the salespeople you're using, your website. Like, so if we weren't selling anything, we wouldn't have a business, right? Because we wouldn't be able to pay for any of that. So I think most people understand that with like brick and mortar stuff when you're walking in, like, oh, these people have products. But I don't think people really connect the dots sometimes with like online-based businesses.
Yeah. So it's just really about making everyone happier. And honestly, guys, you are going to create friends for life when you're just straight up honest with them. Yeah. So I do have a couple more questions. Again, guys, we have links below. We're not lawyers. This is literally just us chit-chatting about, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this. Are you doing that too? There are links down below as well. Definitely get a hold of those templates that we've been talking about. We'll put the link below. They're absolutely fantastic. So some other things I'm sure you guys have heard about it because you've heard about it in several emails about this is people need to be able to, you know, access their information. They need to be able to unsubscribe. It's all stuff that you should be doing anyways. And most of that stuff your email service provider should have. If not, go ahead and get on their online chat and just straight up ask them, like, do you have this or how are people going to be able to update their information or unsubscribe, that sort of thing. But what I really wanted to talk about, because if you guys were in the Beep Boop Boop Up Summit, that is going on with our friend Tara Dawn, how is this going to be affecting bots, out of curiosity? Or is Facebook considered the holder of that information?
I'm not really sure yet, because they're still coming out with information daily, right? Like, I don't think all the information that you can get yet is even out, because people are still trying to decipher what this actually means.
Yes.
But bots have always been permission-based marketing, right? So it's very similar to email marketing. You always want to have permission to send them stuff. And like with many chat that I use, you can't send them promotional materials if it's been more than, I think, like 7 days now. You have to get
reconsent. I thought it was 24 or 48, so.
Was it?
Hours. Like, I thought that it was like. Yeah.
There's one sequence that they have set up where it's after a certain amount of days, you can't email that specific sequence. So you can't send that specific sequence anymore. It's not really email. It's going to a chat thing. You know what I meant. But it's basically all permission-based. Like, you can still send them, I think, weekly stuff or daily stuff with ManyChat, but it can't be a promotional marketing message with them after a certain amount of time.
Yes.
So that's the thing where you have to watch, and there are different bots that you can get. I've seen people now using bots on landing pages in order to get people to take action with opting in for specific things. My business coach, Amber McHugh, is currently using it for people to opt in for like a one-on-one coaching thing, or to opt in for like a 15-minute call so they can make a choice. And it's just a chat bot that basically you input your answers and it walks you through the different steps and be like, hey, here's my suggestions for you. Click on the one that best suits you, right? Mm-hmm. But again, it's all permission-based, right? Like, you have to consent at the end of that. With ManyChat, you have to actually type start, and then you can type stop when you want, right? With this, it's the same thing. You put in your email address if you want to hear from me with the ones that are on landing pages, right? And if they don't put that in, they don't get anything. So just remember, with anything you're doing, even with bots, it's all permission, being upfront. Hey, would you like to get a reminder when I go live in my Facebook group? Click on this button, right? You can stop at any time by typing stop. Let them know how they can stop. Hey, would you like to get this promotional marketing material? Would you like to get email reminders about my challenge? Like, it's the same with email marketing, right? Just being upfront and letting people know how they can start and stop their subscription to that bot.
And making sure that you're not bundling action, guys. I think that that's like the biggest thing that, like, you know, we've been talking about before we actually hit record and afterwards is, you know, if you do have your many bots set up and yeah, that start button is them agreeing to promotional materials, but that's also the only way you're sending them a link to that PDF that you promised if they signed up. You have to have that link, just like Jen talked about in her new confirmation emails. Like, okay, here is the link. Like, if you want to hear more about this or have the promotion meeting, click start.
Yeah,
and then go here.
Zach Speckler does a really good job of this permission-based marketing. If you sign up for Zach's bots, just check out how he words his stuff, because when something else comes up that he thinks you might be interested in, he sends you a permission-based message. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've got this. Would you be interested in hearing about this? Yes or no? And if you click no, you won't hear any more about it, right? Yes. But he's just sending you a permission based, hey, you're on my list. Would you be interested in this? If you are, click yes, I'd like it, and I'll send you the information.
If you now, don't click- even, yeah, and even with bots, is sending them a blog post, is that considered promotional material? Like, do you have to be like, hey, I just did this new, if it's been a while, do you like, hey, I just did this amazing new blog post on bots. Would you like to see it? Do you have to send a yes or no, or can you just send them the link?
I would send a permission. And again, I would always ask permission, because if you haven't spoken them to a while, it's always permission. Like, would you like this link? No, yes. And if they don't click anyways, it's still a no, but it's still permission. Or would you like to get weekly reminders when I release a blog post, right? You can hit stop at any time. So just anything you want to send them, if they haven't already given you consent, permission based message. That is what I'm preaching for the next how many months. Permission.
We're literally just going to record it. Like, we'll cut out that snippet of the interview and just put that up there. We're like,
well, we could like have our little rap, like permission.
Right? This isn't saying like, oh, you can't sell to people like ever again or any of this stuff. What this is telling you is you can't do shady things, which you guys wouldn't be doing anyway. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up. I do have one other question that has to do with this and how you're doing it on your own website. So I have seen some people's already where if they have the Facebook pixel, just because we were talking about bots, this pops up, where it does say like, you know, this website is using cookies, like click here for more information. Like, you know, are you putting that on your site? Like, how do you get it on there? Like, what's the process for that?
Yeah. So you could do something like a hello bar and your announcement bar or pop-up bar. If your website has the capabilities of that, or put a cookie policy within your privacy policy, right? And make sure that your privacy policy is apparent when people hit your website, right? So I always have the privacy policy at the bottom of each of my pages so that they can automatically click on it and read through the privacy and the cookie policy, as well as I have a terms and conditions. You should also, I know this isn't about this, but you should also have an earnings disclaimer within those terms and conditions.
That is my favorite disclaimer.
So just making sure that those are all up to date, right? So privacy policy and cookie policy would probably be the main one for the GDPR, but terms and conditions falls into that as well, right? You want people to agree to your terms and conditions of using your materials and stuff on your site.
Exactly, guys. Now, since you have your double confirmation being the one that is reconfirming, are you and your team going through and like updating like any of your landing pages or your opt-in box, like to tell people like in a little message, even if they don't have the checkbox, like they're going to be getting this, or are you just waiting and letting that double opt-in really sort of be the gatekeeper?
I always use my thank you pages for letting people know what's the next steps. So I like to think of email marketing like dating. So getting their email is kind of like asking for somebody's phone number. And then the thank you page is like getting the details of your first date, right? So on my thank you page, I like to call them active thank you pages, where it's no longer just, hey, you subscribed, go check your inbox. It's, hey, I sent you an email on this. This is what I need you to do with that email, right? You're going to find your PDF or your ebook, or you're going to get a link so that you can start getting the challenge details or the webinar details, right? So letting people know. And then the bonus of that is that underneath that, hey, go check your inbox for this message, you can be like, hey, follow me on Facebook, join my group, share this with your friends, right? You can get more people opting into your list. So I like to basically just, like I said, use my app. Active thank you page is a way of check your inbox for this message. This is what I need you to do with this, right? And here's some other things that you could do with my business.
Yay! So guys, this isn't also like, I know I've been getting a lot of emails too, like, oh, is this the end of like, you know, tripwires? Or you guys know that we don't call them that because that's a horrific term. I'm like, oh, can I offer them like easy yes offers on my thank you pages?
Incentive offer, introductory offer.
You can, guys. Like that is all like still perfectly capable. It's just really a matter of, especially for those of us who were in more of a single based opt-in, where like someone just gives you their email address and then automatically they're added to all of your lists. This is something where you're probably going to want to go back and reconfigure those funnels, those sequences, everything that you guys have. So now everything sort of turns into a double opt-in. Now, if you guys are using our good old pals ConvertKit, as you know, they're usually the tool of the week because we love them. A lot of the times there, the button that they will send people will bring them right to the freebie. Now, guys, you do need to switch it up and you do need to let people actually have a confirmation. It can't be like a dual thing, like click here to get your freebie and consent to these emails. It needs to be something separate. So you are going to need to make sure that in that email, you can actually have a link to where they can get your freebie without clicking that button.
Yeah, see, that used to be my favorite feature with ActiveCampaign too. Is like they click the button, then they automatically get taken to the free. It's like I can't do that anymore,
right? That was my favorite. I call it the mock single opt-in, and it's just like, and again, myself and Jen, like we're both like reconfiguring our courses. Like, chill, so that's one on email marketing. Yeah. We're like, oh man, I'm like, I need to just you know, go ahead and make this compliant and all of that sort of thing, guys. So, Jen, is there anything else that you would like to add in this interview that you haven't covered? I know like we covered a lot and, you know, we'll go ahead and sum up for everybody, but any sort of parting words that you had?
I think the main thing with me would be just making sure your copy is on point. So you're going to have an easier time with the copy in a confirmation email than you would be having on an opt-in form. There's not very much room in an opt-in form to convince people to click that checkbox to get them to sign up for your weekly email. So if it was me, I would go with the double opt-in confirmation and I would use that double opt-in email to have your copy on point and highlight the benefits of getting on your email list to get those weekly emails and to get those marketing materials, right? If you're, again, panicking that nobody's going to click that button, I've been doing this for 4 months with the double opt-in and having the single leads. And I, like I said, I'm still getting 60 to 100 leads a day with my ads. So with double opt-in.
Right? Like, again, if you know how to speak to people, things aren't going to be bad. And I just want to reiterate, guys, you know, if you are doing, you know, an email course, obviously, like that button, you need to make sure, like, oh, but that button's what actually triggers lesson one. That's fine. Just don't automatically add them to your weekly newsletter.
Yeah. So just don't add them to anything they haven't consented to. When they click the button, they're only getting the course and the marketing materials for that specific thing.
We cannot stress this enough. Like, I'm not saying that like people are going to be spying on you, but it's really just setting yourself up for success. Thank you so much, Jen. Like I said, we're going to have a link to all the resources that we talked about. We're going to have a link to Jen's cake business as well as also her online marketing. Like I said, Jen also talks about email marketing. I'm not like, oh no, I can't have another of those on there. Like, no, I love being friends with other people that love stuff as much as I do, guys.
And I've had so much fun geeking out on email. Like, it's not often that I get to talk to somebody about something that, like, I get so excited about it.
We get to talk about the fun stuff, like about the copy and like, oh my goodness. I'm sure that we'll probably have Jen back again just so we can just geek out about what's going on in our businesses. Check out Jen. Jen also has an email course as well, but I believe yours is also open, close, cart like mine is. But you can go ahead and tell them about it and tell them about your freebie before we head off.
It's called Engage Mail. So it's about building a highly engaged list. And it actually starts with the fact that you need a 90-day plan, because everybody always skips through that. I find any list building course I've said, be like, grow your list. But they leave out all the filling, like, but I don't have a plan for this. So mine is basically, it starts with planning and implementation stuff. So it's more planning based than actually like, here's all the traffic methods that you can get on your list. So I'd like to call it a list building course, but it isn't technically a list building course, if that makes sense.
Mine isn't either.
It's more like a business planning course with the side of email marketing.
Right, guys? And I absolutely love that. Like, you guys know mine is all about email marketing, so mine is heavily copywritten based. Like, that's literally what modules 2 through 5 is about. And then we just had the list building bonus, like, tacked on at the end. So I'm glad that we are so on the same page about that.
Yeah, and if they want to get a tidbit of it, I do have a 5-day challenge where I do have an evergreen version of my course if they do want to end up purchasing it. But the 5-day challenge just walks them through, like I said, like that 90-day planning, getting a content plan in place, finally knowing what the heck to do with your email list.
Right, like we call it planning your email party, guys. Like, are you going to be Mario Kart and beer, or is it only caviar and is it black tie only?
You don't need to be bald.
You need to. Thank you so much. And like I said, I'm sure we'll have Jen back, guys, because I just had way too much fun. And I love that you guys hear it not just from me. Like, that's like my biggest thing. Like, I'm not the only one that thinks this, y'all.
Yeah, that's my thing too. Like, am I the only one preaching this?
No, it's so good to find somebody else who actually gets it. All right, guys, thank you so much. And thank you so much, Jen. Again, guys, really click that cover art. Get on Jen's list. Obviously, stay on my list because we love you all as well. And make sure you are compliant, guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for having Inbox Besties in your ear holes today. Why don't we make it a regular thing? Go ahead and slap that subscribe button now. And for even more free value-soaked resources and a community of online entrepreneurs that actually get it, head on over to katedoster.com/group to unlock your free membership to the Super Friends Secret Lair. And if you were one of my action takers listening over here on iTunes, thanks. Make sure that you leave a rating and review. Before you leave, I know it seems teeny tiny, but it makes a big world of difference in me being able to provide you with more dangerously practical tips and tricks for turning internet randos into subscribers with benefits. Later days.